You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I did want to circle back to the second line. The combination and how you guys thought that looked. And just in general, obviously Bertuzzi was there with Pastrnak and Zacha. Which I think that's the first time that combination has ever been together, because obviously Krejci's usually part of that equation on the check line. So how did you think they played together? What do you like about what a line like that could look like with Bertuzzi on it? Obviously, they're not going to break up the check line if they don't have to for some reason. But just in the amount of time that you guys get to see it, what do you think? And do you think Bertuzzi is finding his game a little bit more in Boston? You still think there's probably another level left? Because I feel like they still haven't found the perfect spot for him, but he's looked good on every line. He just hasn't been able to get that goal.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best spot so far has clearly been with Coyle and Frederick. And, you know, obviously the only reason they split that up is because Krejci's out, so someone's going to move up. I would expect him to get more time with Coyle and Frederick. And, you know, really the interesting discussion becomes when Taylor Hall returns, what do you do? Because Taylor Hall has started skating. He's been on the ice at Warrior. You know, obviously the team was on the road, so there was no opportunity to to join the team. We'll see if he gets on the ice with the team at any point this week. They're scheduled to have a couple morning skates. I think they're practicing in full on Wednesday and possibly Friday as well. So, you know, we'll see if he's on the ice in like a no contact jersey at some point, or if it's still just skating on his own, which it might be for another week or so. So, because then the discussion becomes, okay, Taylor Hall, if he's healthy, is going in. So is it Bertuzzi moves over to the right wing and you have Hall, Coyle, Bertuzzi, and, you know, Frederick goes down to the fourth line for now? Or, you know, what exactly does that look like? Is one of Hall or Bertuzzi on the fourth line, which isn't really, you know, a natural fit for those guys? I don't think either one is really suited to the kind of heavy defensive zone shifts that Montgomery tends to give his fourth line. So that's, you know, for now, I like Bertuzzi with Coyle and Frederick. I think they were finding some chemistry. Obviously, you know, I'm sure he still wants to score that first goal. And he's, as you mentioned earlier, he's been close. He double doinks one off, you know, both posts. He kicks one in. So, you know, that'll kind of be like a little bit of a monkey off his back once he's able to do that. But otherwise, I think he's playing well. You know, I think, like I said, some of the setups he has to teammates in high danger areas, the way he puts pucks into good areas, just his passing in general. You know, I think he's been pretty good on the forecheck. He's not the most physical player in the world in the sense of like hitting guys. But I think he's definitely finding his game and playing better.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think the last thing that needs to happen for him is just confidence, and that's going to come with time with this team. And obviously a couple of goals going in that actually count will help that as well. I think there's more of a pest nature to his game that hasn't really come out yet. And I think some of that also has to do with he's trying to find his way in Boston and not be a detriment by taking dumb penalties. I think that kind of just comes out of his game naturally when he's on top of his game. But as Scott mentioned, I mean, that's, you know, barring injury, that's just not a combination I think we'll see this year with Krejci in there. And as far as like what to do with Frederick, because like, yeah, if Taylor Hall comes back, you know, it becomes a much more compelling situation when Nick Foligno's healthy, right? Because when Foligno's healthy, now who are you taking out? If Taylor Hall comes back and Nick Foligno's still out, well, you'll do Hall, Bertuzzi, and Coyle, and then you'll do Nosek with Hathaway on the right and Frederick on the left. And you'll just bounce Greer or Lauko out of the lineup, because I don't see them sending Trent Frederick up to the ninth floor if Nick Foligno's spot is still there to be had on the fourth line. You know what I mean? So I think that when Taylor Hall comes back, they'll keep Frederick in the lineup on that fourth line just to see how that new look third line would appear. And then they'll kick that can down the road as far as who would be the odd man out if and when Foligno's healthy. But if Foligno's still out of the lineup, then Greer or Lauko would be the odd man out, in my opinion. I do think they put Frederick on the fourth line. I think they like that look on the third line of like having that big body nature of Hall and of Frederick and Coyle. But don't forget, like, Taylor Hall's a puck possession guy too. He's a big boy out there, and Bertuzzi plays bigger than he is. So I think that's probably what you would do. I don't know what the timeline is on Taylor Hall. I don't think anybody does. I don't know if you guys have any guesses. Obviously, if he's healthy, they like to try to get him into the lineup before playoff starts, which don't look now, but is like less than a month away, right? Or about a month away.
Yeah, it's like April 14th is their last regular season game, I think, or right in that range. So, yeah, I would say about a month then, because usually you get some time off and then hit the first round. Yeah, the 13th. The 13th is their last regular season game at Montreal. So,
okay.
Yeah, and there won't be much time off because they're going to start that weekend right after the April 15th, 16th.
Okay, and that's a Thursday. So, I think.
So, yeah, I mean, Bridget, I thought that line looked good. I just didn't put much stock into it yesterday because I just knew it wasn't really a long-term thing to be looking for, I guess, if that makes any sense. But I'm really curious to see how Bertuzzi, Hall, and Coyle would fare. I mean, like, Bertuzzi, Coyle, and Frederick is great. It's a great third line. It's up there probably with the best in the league. But if Taylor Hall and Tyler Bertuzzi are on your third line wings and they're on their game, I mean, that's really stupid. And I mean that in a complimentary way. Like that is insane, insane depth and embarrassment of riches. And I think that, you know, as great as Frederick's been, he's not a former MVP in the league. He's not a former first overall pick. Like he's going to have to slide down to that fourth line. And then from there, you know, he's gonna have to battle it out with Hathaway and Foligno and Greer. And guess what? At this point, we're not talking Wayne Gretzky. Like, we're talking all guys that, you know, I don't think your cup hopes are riding and dying on if Frederick is on your fourth line or if he's sitting. He's a great little player. He's having a great year, but yeah. One thing I did want to bring up to you guys too, and Scott, you kind of brought up the power play and Lindholm getting things back in order at the top of the umbrella. Pasternak's two goals this weekend got him to 48 on the year, with about 13 games or so left. Now, obviously, Pasternak is a 50-goal-plus caliber player. He would have already eclipsed this milestone a couple of years ago had it not been for COVID interrupting him. I think he actually had 48 goals or 47 goals, something like that.
It was 48.
It was actually a pretty similar pace with, like, 12 games to go, right? Or 10 games to go? Or...
Yeah, I think. Pretty similar. Yeah, what did they finish at, 70 or 72 that year? So.
Yeah, I think it was 70. So, I mean, he would have gotten 50 that year. But I guess my question is, do you think that when he officially hits 50 this year, unless he has the quietest goal slump of his career, or outside of maybe his rookie year, do you think that him being the first Bruin to hit 50 since Cam Neely means a lot to the organization and to Pasternak?
Good question. I don't know. One thing I did just think of is when COVID hit and it was clear like they weren't going to be able to finish the season, I remember at the time if he was asked, like, you know, are you disappointed, like, you won't be able to get to 50? And he said he was more disappointed that he couldn't get to 100 points, because I think he was at like 96 or something that year. And he said because, you know, because he takes a lot of pride in his playmaking too, and so the total package of the points meant more. You know, I'm sure if, like, 50 goals is a great accomplishment. And as you just said, like, been a long time since a Bruin has done it. So I think, you know, he will appreciate it, but, like, I don't think he'll really let on a ton. You know, I think it'll be a lot of, yeah, we have, you know, bigger goals, I have bigger goals, all that. But yeah, to be the best Bruins goal scorer in almost 30 years, like, you got to take some personal pride in that. And he already was, you know, he doesn't need the 5-0 to, you know, to make that case or for that to be true. But it does highlight, like, okay, he really is doing something that this franchise hasn't seen in a while. And that is just a remarkable accomplishment in and of itself. Like, we're in an era of higher scoring now. Goal scoring has been going up for the last, you know, almost better part of a decade, 7-8 years. And yet you're still only going to finish the season with a few guys who top 50. So it's still just a really impressive individual accomplishment. And, you know, and I do think he's also improved as a goal scorer. Like, you see that with the goal yesterday, Sunday, where that kind of step inside where, okay, a team is taking away his one-timer from the left dot. We've seen that a lot more this year, where he takes that extra step or two inside and wrists it or snaps it on goal and is able to beat goalies that way. So, I think he's kind of diversified his goal scoring and his offense as well, and that's a big reason that he's now tied for his career high and is going to break it, you know, barring something crazy.
Yeah, and it was 95 points that he had that COVID year. Yeah. And he has 93 now, so he's approaching that pretty quickly as well. That's obviously just a huge accomplishment. It's the season he's been having. It's not surprising that, you know, he's going to get there. And I don't know, just in general, he's had such a good year. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him get there like next game. Like, he could just have 2 goals and he's there. So it could happen very, very soon. And I don't think anyone would be completely surprised. Just good for him to get to 50 for the first time in his career, but it's not going to be the last time, I doubt.
No, definitely not. And, you know, you guys mentioned the pride he takes in reaching that 100-point marker. I mean, you see guys hit 100 points a lot where it's like, you know, 25 goals and 75 assists or whatever. I mean, Pasternak, the balance is pretty, pretty remarkable, right? 48 goals, 45 assists as he stands today. So just to the pride he takes in being a playmaker, like Scott talked about, it shows in the stat sheets as well. So just a very, very well-rounded offensive player for sure. And we've talked about it in the past, just the different ways he can score goals, what makes him elite, what makes him special. And if he, you know, now that we know he's here for another 8 years, you know, the title for the greatest goal scorer in the franchise's history, 100 year next year history. That's pretty damn cool. That's very, very special. So he's on track to do that by career's end. And so really cool to get to watch him in his prime right now. Yeah. Was he 26 right now, right?
Yeah. And I think I did the math when he signed the extension, or I think I actually did it like a little before that, but on an eight-year deal, it's like basically if he averages like 36 goals a year, he'll break Johnny Busick's franchise record by the end of this contract.
Which speaks highly of Chief too, of Busick. Like that's pretty crazy that, you know, what he was able to accomplish too back in the day as well. So I don't know how many years he played in Boston. Certainly it won't, when it's all not as many as Pasternak will be at that point, right? At the end of his next contract, it will be what, 15 years he's played in Boston? Pasternak, well, how many years?
Busick's more.
Oh, was he?
22, 23. Like he was in the 20s. So a lot of longevity there.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Okay. Either way, I would take either one of them on my team. across all eras. Bridget, was there any other takeaways from the weekend that you wanted to go over?
I did want to talk about Frederick just for a second. The fight that he had and that the fact that he got, like, he was getting battered this weekend. He took a stick to the chin, to the jaw, and that was bothering him for a little bit. He got into a few mix-ups and one fight with Cousins that Cousins got the early jump on him, and he took a bunch of punches right off the bat, but then he kind of turned it around and started winning that fight, but then they broke it up and he was really pissed because as soon as he started getting punches in, they stepped in between him. But just – how have you thought his physicality has been? I feel like he's playing his best hockey in both ways, that he's being kind of a pest and doing what he does, which we already knew he could do, which is the fighting and the, you know, the toughness. And then he's also added the scoring. I feel like it's, we're watching him play the best hockey that he's played in his career. And he had goals in three straight games, which is the first time he's done that in his career as well.
Yeah, he absolutely is playing the best hockey of his career. And just to clarify and Busick, because I just looked it up, 21 years, 57 to 78. So, yeah. So on Frederick, I feel like pretty much all season, like this is what he's been doing is, you know, he's really broken out as a goal scorer. I think more than half of his career goals have been scored this season. And yeah, he is still bringing physicality. He's not being foolish about it. Like he's not just running around trying to drill guys. He's not taking bad penalties or anything like that. So that's also, you know, part of what he'll have to bring if he does end up on the fourth line, obviously, because I think especially the wings on that line, you know, Nosek is the center, obviously is, you know, he can play physical as well and use his size, but he's really there more as like support, kind of the safeguard, you know, he just kind of manages everything from the middle. But then like the wings, they want that attitude of like, you know, be an asshole to play against, basically. Like that's
Poso when, did try to fight Nosek in that Buffalo.
Yeah, game. True.
I don't think Nosek wanted much of it. But
no, I think we've seen that fighting is not Tomas Nosek's strength. But yeah, so you know, whether it's Hathaway and Lauko, Greer, Felina, Fred, like whoever you want to put on that fourth line, the wings there are going to have like they're going to be kind of the attitude of the team. You know, if you want to throw Clifton in on the back end as someone to bring some of that too, but it's, you know, for years it's been like, you know, how often did Bruce Cassidy talk about Brad Marchand pulling guys into the fight with him? And you know, he was the one who in a top line role who would sort of bring that. And now I think you're seeing that they have a bunch of these guys in the bottom six who can do that and are willing to do that. And Frederick is certainly one of them, and you know, has done it quite a bit this year and is also producing offensively.
I mean, who had Trent Frederick as a 20 goal guy going into the season? It's not out of the question for him. He's at 16 right now and a Baker's dozen games to go. It really is not out of the question at all. So for him to be a 20 goal, 35, 37 point guy potentially this year is really remarkable. And, good sign for the Bruins for the future that he's not a bust of a draft pick. And I think there's stats to back up just how he stacks up against the rest of his draft class. He's actually doing pretty good compared to the rest of his class. So yeah, it's impressive. And I mean, yeah, he's tied for six on the Bruins in goals scored. And you know, obviously, you know who the top four or five are going to be. It's Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak, DeBrusque. Zaka's in there, and I think it's Hall and Frederick. Or I think Lindholm might be. No, Lindholm's not there. So Hall and Frederick are tied for six. So, yeah, good on him. And yet here we are talking about a potential situation where he has to, you know, slide down in the lineup because that's just how much depth this team has this year. So it's just it's pretty remarkable. Yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit for this Bruins team this year. I mean, as we get closer and closer to the playoffs here, it's kind of like, I don't know. It really is cup or bust this year for this team. And I know that phrase is tossed around every year for one or two teams probably, but this Bruins team is more cup or bust than previous NHL teams were cup or bust. Like it's win or fail for this team, which sucks for them because it's impossible. It's like, okay, you follow through and you do that. And people are like, well, good. That's what you should have done. You know, and anything short of that, it's like you're the biggest choke artist in the world. So it's a really tough situation for them to be in, but it's the bet that they've made for themselves because they've been that good. It's the standard that they've set, right?
Yeah, and you know, we've brought up before, but like it's also just a once in a generation situation where you have your top two centers signed for $4 million and they're still as good as they are. Like that is a big part of what has allowed you to be easily the deepest team in the NHL and one of the deepest teams we've seen in a long time. You know, you give Sweeney credit for making the right moves to add to that depth, you know, getting Zaka and Orlov and Bertuzzi and Hathaway, what he's brought. Like, yes, you've also had to hit on getting the right depth pieces with that extra money you have and with the trades you make, but you're in a situation to be able to do that because of what Bergeron and Krejci have done for your team. And every other team would absolutely kill to be in that kind of situation where you have two players of that caliber signed for that little money and look at it and go, wow, look at what this allows us to do on our third line, fourth line, on, you know, our top four defensemen and all that. Like, it's, and you're not going to have that going forward. Like, you're going to run into cap issues next year. You have too many free agents. You don't know what Bergeron and Krejci's status is. Doesn't mean, you know, you're totally falling out of it. Like, you can still, there's absolutely multiple paths where they still have a very competitive team next year, but it unquestionably will not be as deep as this one. So yes, like, you want to really take advantage of this and make the most of it because you are the best team, the cup, you know, you are easily the favorite to win the cup. We know there are things that can happen that are out of their control. If David Pastrnak and Charlie McAvoy go down in the first two games of round one, I mean, you throw your hands up and go, whatever. Like, there was just nothing we could do about that. But if you stay relatively healthy, like, yes, they should beat anyone in a seven-game series. So, it puts a lot of pressure to say cup or bust, but that's what it is. And they've embraced that, I think. Like, they've talked about how it's a special season. They know what their goals are. They don't care about these regular season records. So, you know, they know what it is. Like, they're not, I don't think they're feeling that pressure or, you know, are going to crumble under it or anything like that. I think they know what it is, and they've embraced being that team, being the one that has the target on their back all year.